see here. I got one verse I'm gonna read tonight. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I know that here the Apostle Paul, he's preaching to all the individuals that of his day, and we need to heed some things also. And when I looked at this, I said, "Well, Lord," I says, "will you please help me tonight?" But you know something? That's one thing I don't have to worry about, the Lord, in trying to help me, because He's the only one that can. Because if I tried myself to get up here and just open the Bible and just read the Scripture, and don't get me wrong, I mean, I know that when I read the Scripture, I know I may mispronounce words, and sometimes I may even skip a verse or something like that. But I don't do it intentionally. And I do it out of ignorance because of this flesh that I have. And it's so easy sometimes to give in to the flesh and us not even know it. But tonight, I just want to look at one verse of Scripture tonight here. And that's in chapter 9, the 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 13. And we know that this is the Apostle Paul's writing. We know that what Paul done after he got saved, that he went about preaching the gospel. And he did not go out and try to come up to please somebody or to please the individual that he was speaking to. But he was there to please no one else but the Lord. And we also need to do the same thing. We must go about not worrying about in whom we pleasing, but in whom we're looking to get all the glory and all the honor that he deserves. I don't deserve no praise. I don't deserve no one patting me on the back. I don't deserve anybody coming up to me and saying, "Well, preach us a good message." I don't deserve any of the acclamations that the people will give you. I would rather for the people just to say, "I just want to thank the Lord this morning. I want to thank the Lord tonight. I just want to thank the Lord for being here and being with you." And I don't know why, but I'm not no, what you call, deep preacher. I don't get into something deep. I don't try to get into something that if I get so deep that I'm going to have to end up having somebody to pull me out. Because in all of Paul's writings, and we know Paul, he was an educated man. But in just reading what he had wrote, and I know he was led by the Holy Spirit, but still, even being led by the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ, he was a simple simple man. He's a simple preacher. He just went and he preached. He was trying to grab a hold of the hearts of the people. And one thing that I think that we as individuals, and I know that I'm just as guilty as anybody else, that we really don't take heed in what the scripture here says in the Bible and the way it says it. But help in chapter 9 in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 9 and verse 13, it says, "Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar." That one verse right there, you could get on that and you could study that one verse and you could study it out and you could preach on it for a solid year and still not touch the real truth behind it all. But what I have gathered from it and what the God has given me from it is that the reason the church, since I spoke this morning about the local church, then the Lord give me this tonight. And I know I didn't hit on that much on the local church this morning. But I do know that the local church, the only way a local church is going to ever be built is going to have to be built on prayer. Not only just being built on prayer, but it's got to be built on giving. Giving of time. Giving of your talent. And just giving to the Lord. Whatever you have, just offer it to the Lord. And the Lord will multiply it. And not only that, I believe also that the Lord will bless the church if we would come to Him and ask Him to help us to do the right things. Now, as far as that, but I want to take that this morning, and I want to take this tonight, and I want to kind of weave it in together. But it says right here, it says, "Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar?" That right there is what's lacking within the church. That is what's lacking within the fellowship, is the altar in the church being used. Now I know that some of you can't kneel, but you can come to the front. And you do. And I thank the Lord for you. You do. But if you come to the front, the reason that you can come to the front and sit on the front pew is what you're telling the Lord. And you're telling the Lord with your actions is that He knows that you've made a move. We can sit out in our own pew. Yes, we can pray. We can pray right there in our where we sit. I can get up here and I can sit down right there. And if I sit there the whole service, I can pray right there. Yeah, God will hear me. God will hear you too.
But I believe this, and I believe what God's word says, and what I just read. It says, well, we need to come to the altar. And as we come to the altar, as we have moved ourselves forward, and when we do, we will talk to the Lord. We just need to wait on the Lord. We can pray to Him. We can ask Him this and that. But a whole lot of times, and we'll come up and say, you know, I've been praying for this. I've been praying a long time for the Lord to just answer this prayer. But it just doesn't seem like the Lord wants to answer it. It may be because when we brought it to the Lord, we did not wait on Him to give us an answer. If the answer is going to be now, tomorrow, later, or not at all, we don't wait on hearing from the Lord when we come to the altar. And I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I'm in such a hurry to get up from the altar and just say the prayer for the church and dismiss and then go home. Back when Paul was preaching, and I believe when Paul preached, and when Paul preached this message here, because he said he preached the gospel. He preached the gospel and he lived by the gospel. And when Paul preached, and when he was preaching this message, I believe Paul preached this message. And you can say, well, I don't know if he does or not. You don't either.
I don't know. I don't know it that he did, and I don't know if he did not. I do know it's in the Bible, and I do know that from verse 7 down to verse 18, where he's speaking about Paul preaching. Speaking about that we must go out and preach. And it means that we must go out and, what he's saying, we must go out and be a witness. We must go out and tell people. And what the Lord has done for us. The Lord has done so much for me that if anybody gets me started on it, then they just may well pull up a chair. So we're going to be there a while. But I don't mind bragging on the Lord, because it's nothing that I have done that deserves His grace, deserves His mercy, or deserves His salvation. I haven't done a thing. But the only reason I do have His grace, and the only reason I do have His mercy, and the only reason I have His salvation is because of what He done for me. And that's what He was doing it for. He was doing it for me. And basically what He was telling, He said, you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't save yourself. And I know that. He said, you cannot give up anything and be able to come to church and get in church and get saved. You can't do that. You can't just give up something on your own. You've got to have help. And that's what He tells us over in the book of John, the way He leaves the Holy Ghost with us. And when He left the Holy Ghost here after we got saved, He renamed it. What did He name it? Our Comforter. That's what He became to me.
He's became to me my comforter. He comforts me. He comforts my heart. Still, with all that is said and all that done, when I come to the altar and when I pray, I need to think about what I'm praying. Because it's easy just to come up here and pray and then just get up, dismiss in prayer, and get an honor. And basically, that's what I've been doing. On my part, it's wrong. Because God's word says it's wrong. What he's saying right there, he says, the reason you're not being partakers of your prayer is because you didn't wait on me. You didn't wait on me. You didn't wait on me to give you an answer, to give you the right direction in who to go to. Just like this coming week, we need directions on the way the Lord wants us to walk each and every day, and he wants us to give us directions in the people that we need to contact. We need to always look to him for our direction. And we must always ask him, Lord, you go before me, and I'll follow you. But a whole lot of times in a tendency, we're not real careful. We'll try to get ahead of the Lord. We say, Lord, you know, I believe I can do this a little better. We may not say it that way, but when we don't wait on the Lord, in whatever we do, we're not going to be partakers of it. They which wait. What does that mean? They which wait. That means that they, the ones that come to you. If I happen to come to you and ask you for something, or ask you, I'd like to have your help in helping me do something. Am I going to just come and ask you that and then turn around and leave and walk off? I'm not going to get no answer, am I? Even though, well, I wasn't going to give him an answer. But he approached me so quick with it that I got so mixed up about it and everything. I was going to give an answer. But he wouldn't wait. Because I wouldn't wait, I didn't receive the answer, did I? I didn't receive the answer because I did not wait. A whole lot of times when we come to the Lord and when we go to the altar, and we can make the altar any place. It can be a steering wheel. It can be an altar at the home, wherever. Anytime that we get alone by ourselves and talk to the Lord through prayer, we can call that our altar. And as we do, we can say, Lord, and he knows the reason we come to him. We went to him for a reason. Right? I go to him for a reason. I either go to him and just thanking him for what he's done for me and my family. I come to him and I just thank him for the gift of life. But I also go to him searching and asking for help in the direction that he wants me to go. And then as I go, that I must wait and allow him to speak to me. And I've said this all the time, and I've told many people this and everything over the years, and I said, you know, one thing about it, I don't mind going and visiting people. I don't mind going and visiting them. I don't mind going to the hospital and visiting people. Long as somebody lets me know, I'll go. I don't mind it. I love it. But the thing about it is, the Lord spoke to who first? Who did the Lord give you? Did the Lord give me the name of the individual? No, I didn't know him. I've never heard the name before. Well, who gave it to me? Somebody else in the church, or somebody outside the church, somebody else, give me the name. And you have to remember, with the same verse right here I just read, and waiting on the Lord, they which wait, I'll read this way, they which wait at the altar with the Lord are partakers of the altar where God has given the answer to. But we don't want to wait. We are in society today that we are in too big of a hurry. We got to hurry and wait. We'll go home and if we don't think about it, if we're in a hurry, we'll go in the house and we'll open the cabinet, or open the refrigerator, and we'll pull something out. And we'll stick it in the microwave for 15 or 30 seconds or maybe a minute or two. Why? Because we're in such a hurry. That's the reason I don't think the Lord is, we get a whole lot done for the Lord. Yes, we do it. We do things for the Lord, but what are we doing? What really are we doing? What really am I doing if I'm always in a hurry? Because if I'm always in a hurry, then I'm not waiting for the answer. And we have to wait on the answer. I mean, you take Bill, for instance. When Bill goes to work at the post office, if he goes in there and he asks them, say, well, you got anything else you want me to do today? There may be in but behind or whatever. Bill's offered them. He's given them an offer to just tell them what they want. But then Bill's, he said, no, I gotta go, I'm going. And he's gonna get in the car and he's gonna go on. He'll get in the car and he's got his mail already in the car. And he's gonna start on his route. Well, he didn't stop around that long enough to get the answer. And he really don't know. He may have really lost out. Maybe if he'd have stayed and just waited on them a little longer, maybe what they was going to talk to him about, maybe something good. Maybe it was he's going to, well, you've been wanting a longer route, I'm going to give you a longer route. You're going to get more hours. And with more hours, that means more money. But see, if he left, when he left, and he didn't wait around for it, they'd say, well,
Evidently, he must not have wanted it. He didn't stay around for it. We as Christians, we have to be courteous enough to the people that we are under today. Now, that's hard. That's real hard when you're working for people that don't even care about life. They don't care anything about you. And it's hard to go in there and do what they ask you to do. It is hard. I know with Sister Nancy, I don't know, this is me just saying it, but I believe some things that maybe Sister Nancy, they've asked Sister Nancy to do. She didn't want to do it because of the way that they've been treating her. If other people treat you the way that they treat people, it is harder for us as individuals, as Christians, to treat them in the Christian way. It is. It's hard. What does the Bible teach us? The Bible teaches us that if somebody smacks me on the right side, then I'm supposed to turn to the left side and allow them to do that. But you know, it's hard sometimes. Now, I don't know if you've ever had anybody to really come and talk to you in such a way that you know that there's no way in the world that they can be a Christian the way they talk, with the words that come out of their mouths. No way that they can be a Christian. And I have the verse to back me up on that. And so in the book of Hebrews, where Paul was saying there in the book of Hebrews, and I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, but if somebody wants to say, well, you don't, I'm not going to argue with nobody about it. This is my opinion. What did it say in the book of Hebrews? What does he talk about? Paul talks about what? The chastisement of God. I seen a man one time. Not one time, but I think it happened two or three times while I was there. And I was up preaching. I think two of the times I know of was on a Sunday morning, one was on a Sunday night. That right in the middle of my message that I was preaching, he got up from his pew, he stood up, and he looked straight at me and he shook his head. And he turned around and walked out. He says, if you're going to preach that, I'm not going to come and hear it. And I was preaching about hell. But it come to mind about 7-8 months later. He come to church and he would come basically limping in with a cane. Never had used a cane before, but he come limping in. And with the cane. Then the next thing you know, he got to the point where he couldn't even walk. Couldn't even walk.
I did not want any of that to happen to him. I didn't want him to get to the point where he couldn't walk. I did not want that on him. I did not wish that on him. I did not pray for God to do that to him. I didn't want that to happen. But God done it to him. He was basically, he done it to himself. When you really come down to think about it, he done it to himself. Whether he liked the message or not, whether he liked what I was preaching or not, and the way I was preaching it, whether he liked it or not, he was still sitting there. He should have stayed right there to the end of the service. And as he walked out, shook my hand. He didn't have to come back Sunday night. But no, to get up in the middle of service and to do that. Oh, Brother James has had it over there at his church. When he was passed away, done the same thing. Anytime him and his wife would get up and they would come up, both of them together would get up and sing. Have two or three people just to get up and walk out. They'd walk out of the sanctuary and they'd be back in a vestibule back out on the other side of the doors back there talking. Every time that they would get up and sing. You can't do that and end up saying you're a Christian. You can't do that. And the reason I say a whole lot of them are not Christians is this is the chastisement of God. Who did God chasten? Who did he chastise? Did he chastise that son right here? That's cursed me out? No. He chastises his own. He chastises the one saves. And I see no chastisement upon the people. I see no nothing's changed in their life. I've never seen nothing to where they have lost this or they've lost that. And I know that the Lord deals with people in different ways. But I just don't think that you can get by with that and call yourself a Christian and you continue on getting by with it and getting by with it and getting by with it. And you ain't doing nothing but running God's name down every time that you do it. Hey, these people out here that don't even come to church, won't even come to church. And yes, they say that I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I don't need to come to church. I'm already saved. You don't need and you don't want the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I need the fellowship. I need the fellowship with the people. That's here in the church. And I need the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ when the church doors are closed and when I'm out doing his work. I need to have the fellowship that I can have with him. And I cannot have a good relationship with the Lord if I'm always running him down. And I ain't just talking about God, and I ain't talking about Jesus. Talking to his children. Because if you talk, I'm going to ask you something. You that have children, when they was growing up, somebody says something about your child, are you going to sit down and take it? Nope. The Lord's not going to take it either. Well, they say, well, the Lord won't do that. He's not going to do that to me. I ain't got to worry about that. The Lord's not going to do that to me. Only thing I can say is, don't test him. Because if you test him, God's going to provide all the wrath that he's got on you. Don't tempt God. And that's what we do. We don't watch. And I tell you what, and I fear God, and we do. And what we do as Faith Baptist Church as a whole, as the people here that make up the body of Christ, each one of us need to fear God. Why do we need to fear? Because in the word fear, you have three other letters in there. And each one of us has two of them. And the word is the last three letters, ear. We have the ear. He's given us the ear to hear from him. He's going to speak to us first. But then if we don't heed him, if we don't come to him and say, I'm sorry. Then he's going to bring his wrath down. But you know something? I do not believe a Christian, a true Christian, born again believer, washed in the blood, saved by the grace of the Lord, where he shed his blood on Calvary for them. I don't believe that they're going to do some of the things that I said. They're not going to do anything against the Lord. They're going to do everything they can to protect his name. And we have to be mindful to it too. When I in the world and when we are out among the people, we can't stop the people and what they're saying. But we don't have to be around them either. We don't have to stay right there with them. We don't have to condone what they're doing. And if we just say we're going to close our ears because I really need to talk to them. If they are using God's name in vain, and if they curse him to the point, we don't need to stay around them. What does God's word say? God's word tells us that what we must do, we must turn around and leave. And as we're leaving, we're supposed to dust off the bottom of our feet. In other words, we're saying we must dust off the sin that we've just heard. I love him tonight more than I have anything. Any time in my life, I love him more tonight. But I know it's by 11, 12 minutes after. But if we want God's blessings on our lives, and if we really want God to do something here at Faith, the Baptist Church, if we want to see the church grow, if we want to see where other people can come in, they may come in and write it first. They may not seem like the way they come in, the way they talk. They might not want to fellowship with us. But what we got to realize is one thing. They did come to church. They did come to church, and we need to welcome them. We need to welcome them, whether we believe the way that they're dressed or anything. They don't know no better. They don't know no about them. So how can they come in and act like a Christian? If they're not a Christian, you cannot act like that. You don't know what to do. Oh, some of them come in. Yeah, they can get them. They can sing. They can sing the Amazing Grace real well. They can sing the Victory in Jesus real well. But they don't know the meaning behind it. We need to welcome him and allow God to use the gospel, use the messages to touch their heart. And you may say, oh, man, why am I preaching on that? I've heard him preach on the same thing. I've heard that probably 10 times. But see, I don't know what that individual needs. God does. We need to be mindful. Yes, we're saved. We don't know if they are or not. We hope and pray they are, but we don't know. The only one knows that is God. And that individual. And sometimes that individual may not even know it. Because the devil has led them down the wrong way. The wrong track. Our Father, we come to you tonight. Thanking you, Lord, for your salvation. Father, we thank you for what you have done for me and my family in our lives. And I thank you, Father, in what you're doing here at the church. We may not see the effect of it now, but I know that you're doing something. And the reason I know that is because the doors are still open. Father, I do not believe that you'd want these doors to stay open and where we can take the money in and just go out and pay the light bill and stuff like that just to give the money away. Father, I believe this church was named for a reason. And it was given the name that it's got for a reason. And the reason for it was because of faith. We must put our faith back in you. We must put all our trust in you, Lord. Now, Lord, we just pray tonight that you would be with all the people as Brother Bill gets up here and picks out a song. Father, as we sing, Lord, if anything's upon the individual's heart tonight, whatever it may be, Lord, that they just step out and they would come to where they can come and they can bear it out. And not only just come and to the altar, but yet they can also come and wait at the altar and to be partakers of what you're going to give them. We thank you for what you're going to do this week within our lives. We love you. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll give me the next message. Father, that I need and the people need. Father, for next Sunday, we're asking, Lord, that you may bless that in being homecoming. Father, I know it's going to be some other people here, some people that don't even come to the church.
is going to be here, Father. Father, but Lord, you know the ones that's not in church. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that they would feel something next Sunday. And Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to their hearts this week. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
247, Jesus is calling. 247.